In the book of Genesis, it says God created man. Woman is not even in the picture yet. And it says God created man in his own image. So guys, you have been created in the image of God. You are not just something. You are more than something because you have been created in the image of God. And I know that this is a controversial piece, but he says that you've been created in the image of God. He created him, and he created male. He created female. He created them. Okay? So there are two people in this world today, even in the confusion of this world today. There are males, and there are females. Okay? If you want to be one, you cannot, unless God created you that way. If you want to be the other, you cannot, because God did not create you that way. He created males and he created females. Okay? All right. In Genesis 2 and 18, it says, then the Lord said, well, I don't know where we went south on this one. It is not good for man to be alone. So I guess God looked down at man and went, you know, he's missing something here. So he says, I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now, there's a key here. God has somebody special for you. That doesn't mean you just go out and go pick whoever. It means that God has somebody suitable for you. That means that you guys will get together, that you will, you know, we're at opposite ends of the spectrum, but it's that we could learn how to blend together, okay? Now, so the Lord caused man to have a deep sleep. That's probably the last deep sleep man's had ever since he's been married. But to fall upon the man, and he slept. Guys, y'all are going to get it next week, so, you know, y'all laugh this week, okay? So he took one of his ribs. He closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib, which he had taken from the man. But here's the key. He brought the woman to the man. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're married, you got to understand how special that woman is that's sitting next to you. God brought her to you, okay? Suitable to match your personality, your quirkiness, your weirdness, your uniqueness, and he brought her to you. Now, it said, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. How you doing so far? Okay? As with someone weaker, since she is a woman, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. For one reason, guys. For one reason. So your prayers will not be hindered. Now, if you're out there with an attitude, yeah, y'all looking at each other going, I'm very sorry. But if you go out there and you know, you act like a fool and you don't honor your wife, your prayers aren't going to get answered. So if you look back to go, gosh, I wonder what's been wrong, maybe it's the relationship that you have with your wife, in all sincerity. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Now, wives, be subject to your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, here's the key, as unto the Lord. If your husband is acting like a fool, that doesn't mean as unto the Lord. And if your husband is asking you to do things contrary to the word of God, you don't have to do them, because it's not as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head. I know, ladies, you're not going to like this, but the husband is the head of the wife.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. But guys, I'm going to humble you now. As Christ also is the head of the church. Now, how many times, guys, do we mess up? And how much grace is in that picture? The Bible says, how many times are we supposed to forgive each other? 70 times 7. That could mean, you know, 80 times 8. It could mean 90 times 9. It just means keep forgiving, because God keeps forgiving us. So it says, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, women also wives ought to be, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, ought to be their husbands in everything, okay? Now here, we're going to begin with the seven dumbest things that a wife can say to her husband. Okay, now go back about those other passages about how God is created, okay? Here's number one. When your wife would walk to you and go, honey, do you see anything different? What are we supposed to say? So we go, your hair. And then you would think, but it's not what you think. What's wrong? You don't like my hair? You don't like the color of my hair? What's wrong with my hair? I mean, what's the difference? I don't understand. I've had my hair like this for years. You don't like my hair? I don't understand. And the Bible says, let us consider, women, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So don't ask him what looks different. He doesn't know. I mean, it's like you arrange the furniture in the house. Do you see anything different? The picture? No, I rearranged the couch. We don't see it. We don't know. But the wife is supposed to stimulate the husband to love and good deeds. Okay? So that's number one. Here's number two. Okay, we've all been here. Number two is when your wife comes to you in the morning and she's like, honey, does this dress make my bottom look a little big? Lord have mercy. Now the Bible says don't tell a lie. But how are we supposed to answer that? Yeah, your butt looks pretty big today, darling. No, you can't do that. So the challenge is, James says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, women sometimes don't ask the dumb question. Lord have mercy, go get on the scales. The scales will tell you if your bottom is grown. And guys, you had something to do with it. You fed the woman. So it says, yet does bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Women, don't stir it up. There is no way. When we went to court years ago, the defense attorney would go, do you still beat your wife? How do you answer that question? No, I don't. Oh, so you don't beat her anymore. Well, if you answer yes, you're in trouble. You can't answer, and that's a question you can't answer. Does it make me? Oh, I hear somebody outside. I'll be right back. No, don't ask a question that stirs up the pot, for goodness sakes. Okay, here's number three. Honey, does this dress make me look young and sexy? Yeah. What's a guy supposed to say? See, here's the great thing. You know, he's got to say yes. But see, here's the challenge. If you want someone not to look, I mean, the chick is 23 years old that you picked out. Now, if you want someone not as sexy, you go pick out the 80-year-old woman that's walking in the mall. But here in the midst of this, it says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her so that he might set her apart, sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Now, ladies, in all honesty, how dumb. In the midst of a mall or a restaurant, to pick someone that's 23 and you're 52, to go, is she prettier than me? No, honey, she's ugly. So it's important for what you say, because we're dealing about relationships. You got to learn how to bridle your tongue. Here's number four. Let me go to four. Honey, what are you thinking about? Okay, now here's the picture. You got a 100-inch screen TV. It's the Super Bowl. You have got your drinks. You've got chips, dip, both remotes. I mean, you know, it's the last 2 minutes of the game. And there's a play that's just about to happen that will never be seen in mankind again. And you are engrossed in the TV. You don't know anything. You don't hear anything. And here comes your wife. She sits down next to you. She puts her head on your shoulder. Honey, what are you thinking about? It ain't you! I'm thinking about the game. It is the play of the century. And I'll never see it again. Well, you don't love me. That's got nothing to do with it. It's a game. I want to watch the last 2 seconds, please. And then the Bible says it is better for a dry morsel of quietness within the house than this full of feasting with strife. Mama, if you don't want strife in the house, don't start it. Guys like to watch the game. You know, ever since we've been building the building, Pam stays on the computer. And she's on her phone. Tiger Woods is playing golf. He's got a 42-foot putt. If he does it, he wins. And she comes in and goes, what do you think? I'm not thinking about that. I want to see the putt. Well, don't get mad at me. Honey, I'm not mad. But again, it's important, ladies, don't stir it up. And you won't have none, you know? Here's another one. Honey, I already did that one. Honey, what's wrong? You come home from work. Busiest day you've had in your life, worst day you've had in your life. So she said, honey, what's wrong? You go, oh, nothing, it's okay. No, really, honey, what's wrong? I'm okay. No, honey, your face says something's wrong. Okay, I've just had a bad day. It's one of the worst days I've had in my life. And you know, I just want to sit down in my chair. Worst day of your life. I've been cooking and cleaning in this house all day long. You know, I mean, I've taken out the trash. I've taken care of the kids. You know, worst day? What are you talking about? Where do I fit in this picture? Worst day in your life? How about my life? Where do I fit? I got to wash and do the dishes. Where? Well, goodness gracious. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts? It could be you. It says it's not the source, your pleasure, that wages war in your members. Hey, if you don't start it, it won't happen. If you don't want an answer, don't ask for it. And sometimes, you know, it's like, I just want to come and sit down in my chair. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to have any issues at all. Just give me 30 minutes alone. Just leave me alone. Okay? Here's another one. Now, this one is really for me and Pam, okay? Honey, as long as we've been married, you ought to know what I'm thinking. John, we'll be driving. And Pam will go, oh, look at those antiques at that store. Yeah. And then she's quiet. Like, what's up? Oh, nothing. A few minutes later, she'll go, wow, did you see that big vase over there at that place? No, honey, I didn't. Well, now she's like really quiet, and I'm like, what's the deal? Well, honey, I've asked you twice. No, you haven't asked me nothing. Well, you ought to know what I've been thinking. God, I don't want to know what she's been thinking. You know? And sometimes, women, you just need to tell the man, would you pull over? Because I saw this antique. And I promise you, the guy will go, sure, honey, we'll pull over. We don't know what you're thinking. And God forbid, we don't want to know what you've been thinking in the midst of all of this. Okay? So sometimes you just need to be honest and just go, I'll help the situation, honey. I want to go to the store. Okay. And we pull in. All right? See, Proverbs says, for the lack of wood, the fire goes out. Don't start it. There won't be no fire. And where there is no whisper, contention quietens down. You know, sometimes we just need to chill, be honest. Don't assume. I won't tell you what the word and definition of assume means, but most of us know, okay? So we have to be very careful, you know, of what we do. And ladies, you have to not just assume that your husband knows. And sometimes you have to be a part of the solution and not the problem, because God didn't make us. See, okay. We were created in the image of God, ladies. You were not. You were created out of a rib. We were created in the image of God. Okay.
I think we need to move on.
Are you telling me what to do now? Okay. Yeah, okay, all right. Now, here's a great passage, guys. Proverbs says there are three things that amaze me. And then he's confused. And he goes, no, really, there's four. How an eagle glides through the sky, how a snake slithers on the rock, how a ship navigates in the ocean, and how a man loves a woman. Sometimes it is not easy. Honestly, for either side. So how do we build a relationship? How do we make it work? Because we all do things that sometimes are just dumb, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Here's number one. First, keep the courtship going. Yeah, but you're 65. Well, I understand. Fire's not out yet, though. You know? First Peter says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayer. But most important of all, and I mean this, I don't care if you just got married, if you've been married 70 years, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. You know, when we get to a place in our marriages when the communication stops, when we decide that we're living our life and they're living their life, then we don't really have a life together. And what's important in this is that both sides have to keep the fire going. You know, I mean, the walk in the park, the holding the hands, the kiss of the cheek, going out to eat dinner. You got to spend time together because you did those things when you first started, when you first met each other. You know, you wanted to see each other, you know. And now we're so busy with life, we take things for granted. Ask someone that has lost a spouse how they've taken life for granted. And I promise you, they would tell you, never, ever would I ever do it again. So, number one, keep the courtship going. Here's number two. Remember that God joined you together. You know, we said at the very beginning that God brought that woman to you. It's important. God brought that woman to you, men. And you know, ladies, God brought that man candidly to you. And Matthew says, and he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united as one. That doesn't mean the guy gets to go do what he wants to. That doesn't mean the woman gets to. No, that means that you are united as one. And it says, since they no longer are two but one, let no one split what God has joined together. See, if we focus on our marriages and on our relationships, it's important to understand that God is what joined it together. When we sat down and we said, I do, you didn't only say, I do to your spouse. You said, I do to God. You made a covenant with your spouse, but you made a covenant with God. And what's most important in the midst of this, you know, Pam retired from the PD and we kind of had a running joke at the house, divorce is unacceptable. Murder, possibly, but divorce is unacceptable, you know. But in all honesty, you have to remember that God put you together. And if God put you together, let no man, nothing, separate that relationship. Because if God did it, he meant it to be that way. Here's number three, pray together. You know, when I counsel with people, I ask them, what's the most intimate thing between a man and a wife? Well, you know, some will come up with a lot of relationship, you know, answers. But the most intimate thing that a man can do with his wife and a wife can do with her husband is to pray. You know, at night when we go to bed, we turn off the lights. One night Pam will pray, the other night I will pray. But we pray every night before we go to bed. We have a little small talk. We talk, you know, puppy dogs in the bed with us. You know, that's the daughter. But, you know, we just sit down and we just kind of chill out. But there's not a better way to close out your day than prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer is communication with God. And, guys, if you're afraid to pray in front of your wife, shame on you. And wives, if you're afraid to pray in front of your husband, shame on you. Because, again, the most intimate thing that we have is to pray together. It says, confess your sins to each other. And there's a lot of times that we just have to go, honey, I'm sorry that I blew it today. You know, I made mistakes. And it says, and pray for each other for one reason, so that you would be healed. And that's emotional and physical. I mean, it's the whole process. So you have to pray. It says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has a great power. And what does it do? It produces wonderful results. You know, we laugh about it. If mama's happy, everybody's happy. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy, okay? But in all honesty, we need to pray. Here's number four, never go to bed angry. Golly gee, how many times has Satan got in the midst of your relationship? You know, you don't talk to each other, you go to bed. You know, what happens if one would pass away in the course of the night? Then you're the one that going, oh my gosh, if, oh my gosh, what? Never do that. Because Satan's the one that stirs it up. Our fight is not with each other. The Bible says our fight is with Satan. It says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. If you go to bed angry tonight with your spouse, it is much easier to go to bed tomorrow night angry with your spouse. And if you keep doing that, then you're going to go sleep in other bedrooms, and then finally one's going to leave the house, Satan wins, God loses, you forgot the covenant that you cut with God. It says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Here's fifth, and I don't mean this to be funny, but remember that criticism and nagging destroys love. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all looking at each other going, mm-hmm. Okay? I got to be the first one to admit to you sometimes I don't pick things up. Mm-hmm. But see, Pam's got to the place that she knows it's better just to pick it up than to nag. Okay? And she does it out of love. But it says it's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. I mean, I got to tell you, no one wants to have somebody nagging at you 24/10. I mean, 24/7, you don't want to do that. You know, it's my calendar, okay? It's my watch, all right? See? But honestly, we don't want to get up every day when someone's nagging at us. And if we treated each other the way God treats us, then he would treat us with grace and mercy, compassion, forgiveness. We're all imperfect. I mean, we don't live perfect lives. So, you know, criticism and nagging will destroy the best of the best. Here's number six, guard your thoughts. You know, sometimes you say things that you wish you wouldn't have said. You've heard the word, sticks and stones will hurt, you know, break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. A bone will heal. But we've all had words spoken to us that we can't get past. And they stay. And it's important for us in our marriages and in our relationships to get to that place. Before you say it, think about what you think about before you think about what you're going to say. So that when you say it, that it's honoring to God. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And then avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. You know, we don't want to curse at each other. We don't want to yell at each other. We don't want to scream at each other because it does nothing but destroy. And again, you fall prey to the evil one. Here's seven. Always, always keep Christ in the house. Philippians 4 says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we do those things, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.